This audio presentation is the teaching of Jennifer Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Breaking Through the Noise, was delivered on November 1st, 2020. Here now is Jennifer.
All right, I'd like to welcome up my wife, Jennifer.
You guys never hear him. He said, oh, I'm out of here. Okay, good morning, New Hope. I'm going to start by saying that, you know, every time I get the opportunity to share a message with you, I have some issues with keeping structure of things. So after I submit my outline to Pastor Scott, I'll sit at the laptop or write it down. I'll go from the first Good Morning New Hope to the last amen of my message, and I'll write down word for word what I'm going to say and how I'm going to tie everything together. This time, as I'm driving home from work, you know, I'm going through my message and I'm thinking, okay, this scripture goes with this, this point goes with this scripture, and it just flows. It comes out of me. Cannot help, it just comes out. So I'm like, okay, gotta remember that. So when I get home, I gotta type it out, I gotta write it out. When I get home, I can remember nothing. I don't remember nothing, my mind is blank, I cannot think. Okay, so I was like, okay. So this went on for like the last 2 weeks. And every day, getting closer to the message, I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta call Pastor Scott. I don't can think, I don't know what to do. I hope he get on back up. I'm gonna call Pastor Aaron, tell him I don't can. I say, oh, okay, no, I got this, okay, I got this, keep praying. I have a thinking shirt that says, just Jesus on top. My husband bought it for me. I put it on, I said, okay, I got the shirt on now, okay, where's the rest of it? Okay, so here we are yesterday, still no more nothing written down. And I was thinking, oh man, this is it, I'm screwed, I don't can do nothing. And then it clicked while I was cleaning my counters for the third time because I couldn't think of what else to do it myself. God wants us to come as we are. He doesn't want something rehearsed. He doesn't want something scripted. He wants it to come straight from our heart and just let the Holy Spirit just fill us and use us to deliver his message. So bear with me because I have one pepa today with only my points and my answers and a couple notes here that I make sure I cover. We're going to get right in it. Our first point this morning is resist temptation. You know, temptation is a funny thing. We went and ran errands yesterday, and I was with only my two daughters in the car. And, you know, I'm thinking about the message, and I asked both girls, I asked both girls what it means to them to resist temptation. So my younger daughter, Genesis, decided to take the more literal point, and she gave me the definition of resist and the definition of temptation. My older daughter, who thinks with her stomach, told me resisting temptation to her means when we go to Cow Shell to put gas and she smelled a chicken cooking, she needs to resist asking mommy to go in and buy her chicken because she know we're going home for eat dinner. That's what temptation means to her. And so it got me thinking because temptation can be something as small as having that extra cookie when you know you wasn't very well supposed to have the first 10 cookies that you ate. Or it could be something larger, like something of a sexual nature or something like that. Or for me, shopping. So you hear my husband laughing because so much to the point where he put a ping on his phone that every time I get near Ross's, it says, Jennifer Arcatola has arrived at Ross. And he'll give it a couple minutes. He'll wait a couple minutes to see if I'm in traffic. If I'm at that spot more than maybe 2-3 minutes, I'll get a call. Hi, where are you? My answer is always, you know very well where I am. It's telling you where I am. So, you know, it's just a way because he knows I have issues with going to shopping at Ross. So it's just a way that he's helping me to work through resisting the temptation to go and buy stuff that I absolutely don't need. Your first scripture this morning, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So the devil will use things in your life, things that you like, to lure you and to get a grip on you. He might start off with something small, kind of like a trail of breadcrumbs, and start off small and just work, you know, as you go and you pick up these breadcrumbs, you do these things, you get to this place where it's just so dark and you're so deep and you don't know what to do. So we just need to be aware that he's there. He's trying to look for your weak spot, and he's going to work on it with and just work on it in you and try to get a hold of you. So just be aware of that. You know, one scripture I keep coming back to is Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know, you hear Pastor Scott talk a lot about his BC days and how he was and acted a certain way, and we all have our BC days. I'm no different. You know, I'm not as quiet and as put together. I wasn't as quiet and put together as I was back then. Well, as I am now that I was back then. See what happened when I know Peppa. But, you know, one thing that I have a hard time with is seeing people being made fun of or being ridiculed because they're not able to do something, you know, the way the world sees that they should be doing it. My example for that is one day I was in Walmart, and this was a few months ago. I don't remember what I was in there for, but, well, I know one thing I was in there for, but anyway, I'm looking at this shelf, and very socially distanced, I hear this conversation going on a little ways down from me, and I can tell that the person, there's this customer asking a store worker for help in finding something, but you can tell that this person's first language is not English, so, you know, he's having a hard time explaining what he's there for. And then, as if, you know, this person was like, meant nothing to this worker, the worker just stopped him and just was like, "What? I don't understand what you're saying." And that was it. The tater came out of the box. She was walking over. I had to reel her in real quick because what I wanted to do was go over there and go, "Oh, bro, you don't need to talk like that." But instead, I had to not conform to the way of this world. I had to renew my mind and the way I thought. And I felt so bad because this person was there trying their best to get help. I took my cart. I walked over there. Probably shouldn't have done this next part, but I went in front of the worker, I turned my back on the worker, and I told the customer, "Hi, can I help you? I don't work here, but I'm here almost every day, and I know where everything stays, so how can I help you?" And the look on this customer's face was just one of such relief and like, you know, like just thank you so much. And, you know, all it took was for someone to really listen and pay attention. This guy told me I was looking for toilet paper. And I told him, "Ha, me too, COVID, no more toilet paper, no can help." So I told him that there was none, but he didn't understand what I was saying. So I said, "You know what? Everybody knows what this means. Come, follow me." So I took him to the rack where all the toilet paper was, which there wasn't any. And I showed him, "See, no more toilet paper." And I think what he was trying to ask me next was when they would get some more or where it was or whatever. So luckily, thank you, Jesus, had one sign that said, you know, "Please excuse the inconvenience. We're trying to restock, but current circumstances, whatever, whatever." So he said, "Okay, thank you, thank you." And he left. You see, it took just that simple act to stop and really listen and not conform to the pattern of the world and be like everybody else who is too busy, or they have that mindset that, it's not my problem, whatever, just, you know, and toilet paper's supposed to be in aisle A20 and they send them to like Z35 or something. So, you know, it's just about, we need to resist the temptation to just give in to the world And just let God lead you and let God work through you. 1 Peter 3:17 says, "For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." So this situation with this customer, it stuck with me for days on end. And, you know, I love that feeling of helping him. I love that feeling of just letting God work through me. And just like I heard a song I heard this morning, Jeremy Camp says, "Keep me in the moment because I don't want to miss what you have for me." I prayed and asked God, and that prayer for like days to come was, "Lord, show me how I can reach more people for you. Show me, give me, equip me with what I need to go out and reach more people for you." And I didn't get an answer right away, like we normally don't. And so I just kept praying it. One day I was at work, and I got an email from the Judiciary History Center, and it said something to the effect of they would be hosting Hawaiian language classes. And I was like, "Oh, right on," because, you know, I took 4 years in high school of Hawaiian language, but I am no means fluent. I can hold my own, but please don't come at me with a whole long story because I'll have no idea what you're saying. You know, I was like, "Right on, sign me up. Let's do this. I got this. It would be wonderful," because just like with anything else you learn, if you don't put it into practice, you get rusty, you forget. You won't know how to do it. So I was like, "Yes, perfect, refresher, let's do it." Signed up. Couple days go by, I get a email that says, "Okay, thank you for signing up. Here's your Zoom link, your password, and the schedule." So I start reading the schedule. It's every Tuesday and Thursday at 12 o'clock. Okay, 12 o'clock, every Tuesday, Thursday. I love to eat. Okay, I love to eat. I did not get this way on Jenny Craig. My husband is an amazing cook. Did I mention I love to eat and this class is at 12 o'clock? So this is my lunch break. So, okay, I said, "You know what? That's all right, thank you, Jesus, because we gotta wear masks, this PPE, all day, every day, I gotta wear one mask so I can eat at my desk. I don't care if I eat it once, bamboo soup, and I get nori stuck in my teeth after, no matter, because I get the mask, thank you, Jesus." So we're gonna do this class. So I'm going, you know, a few weeks go by, I'm in the class, I'm loving it, and I still have that prayer in my heart, "Lord, teach me how I can reach more people for you." So, you know, working at the courthouse, you come into a lot of people who obviously English is not their first language. And that day, I'm praying this prayer, and the Spanish-speaking clients come in, and obviously, they're having a hard time, so I try my best to help them. Another one comes in, same thing, try my best. And then I have someone else come in who cannot speak at all and uses ASL. And then it clicks. God said, "This is why I'm showing you to go take these classes. Because if you want to reach people and lead them to me, you need to meet them where they are." So after that, I found some Spanish language courses. So on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, I'm doing Spanish. Tuesday, Thursdays, I'm doing Hawaiian. And I'm looking for an ASL class that, okay, well, this is the first time my husband heard about it, but I'm going to be doing after work. So, but, you know, I want to keep that feeling. I want to keep that feeling that and I want to share it with people. I want to share Jesus with people so they have that feeling too. Your second point this morning is refocus. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." So every morning when I'm driving to work, I pass this one person who's running for office. And I swear, he just makes me so happy every morning. And I'm going to be so sad when the election is over and he's not there, but you know, every morning he's like waving to everybody and he's like, "Hello," and he had one dinosaur costume on the other day, I was boss laughing, and you know, I'm gonna be so sad when he's not there, but you know, it just brings so much joy to me. In the afternoons when I'm driving home from work, I'm passing Walmart, Ross's, I know it's pinging his phone, I'm there in traffic, and you have on one side of the road, you have like a whole line of people that are in support of this one candidate, and then you have on the opposite side maybe a little bit in support of another candidate. And I've never not gone through that stoplight without catching the red light. I've never had the green light, so I've always had to stop and wait. And this one day I'm driving home and I'm thinking, wow, you see all these people on one side and they're all like, thank you, waving, you know, just showing their signs. And then you look on the other side and I can see the hate. I literally can see the hate because it says words hate on some of their signs. And they're like, you know, yelling at the people across the street. Some of them are waving, but I'm just thinking of the scripture because it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. We need to, God wants our best, you know, and it says a worker who does not need to be ashamed. I don't know that most of these people can go home at the end of their time standing there on the side of the road and not feel ashamed of the way that they conducted themselves. And it goes on to say, and who correctly handles the word of truth, the word of truth being the word of God. Can they honestly say that they correctly handled the word of God there that day? Which is why I need to make it a point to step outside of myself each and every time in each and every situation and really focus my thoughts back on Jesus, because it's so easy to get sucked into the ways of the world and just lose focus and, you know, be this person over here yelling hate words and this person being good words, and it's just a mess. So we need to remember to refocus. That goes along with Hebrews 3:1, where it says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. You know, it goes along with what I just said. You know, at the end of whatever it is that you're going through or that you're about to go through, at the end of it, it's always going to be Jesus. So don't just leave him at the end. Put him in the front. Put him at the beginning and make sure it starts with Jesus, it continues with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. Number three, your third point this morning is remain in him. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Every day I drive past this house, and you know the long green squash? I don't know if I'm saying it right, but my husband said tabuk now. I think that's what it's called. Okay, got it. These long vegetables, fruits, whatever you want to call them, they're heavy. They're really long and they're heavy. There's this one house I pass every morning and every afternoon, and they have this fancy little thing where it's growing on this like fence thing, and the fruit hangs down out of the bottom. And if you really took the time to look at it, it's growing by a vine. It's growing by this tiny vine, and it supports the weight of this huge vegetable. Anyway, it made me think, like, okay, God is our vine. No matter how much we weigh with our baggage and our problems and our everything, he's still supporting us. He's still supporting us. But we're not able to do anything by ourselves. We need that vine. So we need to stay connected to God. Just like how that squash stays connected to that vine until it's ready to be picked and used. It's connected. It feeds off of that vine. That's what gives it its life. That's what we need to do. We need to feed off of God. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The sun, what does the sun do? It breaks through the darkness. It chases away the night. It opens things up so that you can see. And a shield, what is a shield? It protects you. God protects you. He's your shield. It says it right there. The Lord bestows favor and honor. He does not want anything for us except for good. No good thing does he withhold from us. It says it right there. And he doesn't withhold anything from us. He just wants us to come as we are and trust in him and believe in him. I have something that I want to read to you that was shared in our women's ministry a few weeks ago. It's the only thing that I have notes of, and I never type them. I printed it out. It was from a comedian back in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, Johnny Mae shared it with our women's ministry. And we all know Johnny Mae. She's not going to move on something unless God moves her to share it with us. And so when she said she was sharing something from George Carlin, I was like, oh, boy. Okay, I don't know how I'm supposed to tie in this to what God is sharing with you, but you know what? We're going to go with it. So it starts off explaining who George Carlin was. It says that his wife died early in 2008, and George followed her, dying in July of the same year. And it's ironic because George Carlin, who was a comedian of the 70s and 80s, who had very colorful language, he could write something so very eloquent and so very appropriate. So this is what he wrote. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but we have less. We buy more but we enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet more problems, more medicine but less wellness. We drink too much, we smoke too much, we spend too recklessly, we laugh too little, we drive too fast. We get too angry and we stay up too late, and then we end up getting up too tired. We read too little, we watch TV too much, and we pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, we love too seldom, and we hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to our life, but not life to our years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but somehow have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but we learn less. We plan more, but we accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion, big men and small character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorce, fancier houses, but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. A time when technology can bring an email to you, and a time when you can choose either to share this insight or to just hit delete. You know, my points this morning covered every answer started with R-E, re. So I'm going to give you a few more here. He goes on to say, remember to spend some time with your loved ones because they are not going to be around forever. Remember, say a kind word to someone who looks up to you in awe because that little person soon will grow up and leave your side. Remember to give a warm hug to the one next to you because that is the only treasure you can give with your heart and it doesn't cost you a cent. Remember to say I love you to your partner and your loved ones, but most of all, mean it. A kiss and an embrace will mend hurt when it comes from deep inside of you. Remember to hold hands and cherish the moment, for someday that person will not be there again. Give time to love, give time to speak, and give time to share the precious thoughts in your mind. And always remember, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by those moments that take our breath away. That's all I have. Oh, sorry.
Hello? Okay. Oh, she took it easy on me. All right, we're going to do communion today. So if anybody didn't get their juice and bread, you can grab it now at home. You can get ready. Whew. And this morning in my devotions, we're like 3 days ahead and we're reading in Mark 15. And we're reading about Barabbas, and I think Mike spoke about him, and it reminded me of what he said, and like how we are him, and Jesus took his place, and yes, and I'm just so grateful, and if you don't know Jesus and all he's done, and it speaks about how he's broken down, I just want to say the Savior prayer first to accept Jesus before we do communion. So with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, if you want to receive Jesus first before we take communion, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. And if anybody here has said this, just raise your hand. I can pray for you. Anybody at home, if you receive Jesus, just email us and just let us know. All right. I just like to take some time too, and when we do communion, it's kind of serious, man. Jesus, he gets broken down, and he suffers a lot for our sins, and when we do this, when I do this too, I do it with all my heart, and I just don't do it to do it, and I just want to take some time and just ask him for forgiveness and just cleanse our heart before we take communion. All right. On that night, Jesus, he took a loaf of bread and he gave thanks to God for it. He broke it into pieces and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body that has been given to you. Take the bread and do this in remembrance of me." Everybody, think of the bread. Later on, he took a cup of wine and he said, "This is the wine, is a token of God's new covenant with us to save you. In agreement, it's sealed with the blood I will pour out for you." Everyone, take up the wine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his blood for cleansing us of our sins. Father, we just pray for you to just give us guidance and wisdom and just bring everyone together here in the next coming weeks, no matter what happens. And again, Father, we just thank you for all you've done in our lives and that you will continue to do. We give you all the praise and glory in your Son's mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, James. And Jen, thank you for sharing this morning. When You started speaking in your introduction. I made a note to self, and I wrote down, if Jen calls before she does the message, no answer. Because God had an excellent word for you this morning, as he always does. So thank you very much. Well, shall we stand? And we'll take it out this morning giving praise to God. Amen?
You've been listening to Jennifer Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.